Blog Talk Radio.
Online, on air. Online, on air.
Politics on the Navajo Nation.
Dylan, you are listening to Internet Radio Politics on the Navajo Nation. To be our guest, call 347-989-0048.
Well, you're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. It's internet radio, and everybody is welcome to call in. I hope that people are out there listening this evening. I know possibly that Santa is very, very tired and probably trying to think about what he's going to do a little better next year. But, you know, we're here. This evening's show is about Native Christmas. Native Christmas, what does that mean? How do we celebrate it? Of course, right now, seeing online many, many different posts from many, many different sites of the world. And they're basically talking about and greeting each other Merry Christmas. And on the internet. Something in the suitcase of the computer. So anyway, I hope that everybody has had a wonderful time. And so you're welcome to call in to 347-989-0048. Looking forward to hearing from you. Looking forward to hearing your stories. I'd be very curious. I'm sure there's many different people from all over different parts of the United States who are possibly listening. I am very curious to find out who, how that they've adapted to the into this new Christmas holiday as a Native American, and how much do people think about it, and what they do, and how they celebrate it, and I'm looking forward to it. And we have our first caller. And hello, this is probably Renee. How are you? You're on air.
Hello, this is Renee Yellowhorse from Arizona, currently in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hopefully, Santa didn't take me home in his sleigh, hey, to going up north way there. But anyway, I wanted to call today into your show. I wanted to tell a little story about my mother. Her birthday is today. She's 74.
Oh, well, beautiful. That's awesome.
Let's get back to this one. She didn't know when her birthday was. So when she went to the boarding school, they asked my grandmother. She was raised by her grandmother, my great-grandmother. And they asked her, and then so she told them, well, we were up at Gray Mountain. We were picking pinyon. So they put up a shelter. There was ones around the tree trunks with canvas, with the trees as a canopy. That's when she was born. So they told them there was a lot of snow and there was trees. So lo and behold, her birthday is Christmas Day.
Oh, is that right? That's incredible.
Yeah.
So she was born right in the middle of winter. And 74 years ago.
Sometime around
this
time. So we want to wish her a very happy birthday, along with Merry Christmas. She lives in Tuba City, Arizona. She lives in my home. She's lived there all her life. She worked in the dorms after she did a brief stint as working in the hospitals in Tuba City area. She has four children. I'm her oldest daughter. I have an older brother. And all together, just last week on the 18th, her 12th great-grandchild was born up in Colorado to my older brother's fourth Nelly. He has two boys, and his younger son has a baby boy. So
congratulations. I saw that posting on Facebook. So
I know.
That's really cool.
Okay, well, you have a happy holiday now.
Yeah, it's her birthday, and happy holidays.
About my mom. Mm.
Yeah. Hey, since I've got you online, how did you first come across Christmas? And I assume that your mother was, 74 years ago. She's probably quite traditional. How did your family celebrate the Christmas holidays, or can you share a little bit of that with us?
My earliest memories was we probably celebrated Christmas, like the tree and whatnot. I mean, my mom was raised traditionally, but she was also in the modern world with the boarding schools, and also she went to, I think it was in Phoenix, a hospital for TB, and to cure her of her TB, and then she was sent back. So she was pretty knowledgeable. She also lived in Utah near the Kennecott Mines with her brother, lived there for a while before she went back to the reservation. And my earliest memories, and ones that will always be with me, is when we had the big snow out there in Tuba City. And everybody was saying, come to the chapter house, with a helicopter, because Santa Claus is going to come in a helicopter. I was like 5, 6. I don't remember really. But we were all in line. Then the lady, the person in front was saying, well, how old are you? And then my mom told them how old I was. And we went up to the Santa, and they were given a toy for a little girl. And that was the first time I got a Christmas present that I remember, and it was a doll. Blonde hair, blue eyes, but it was a doll. And
I love it.
A credit board for it and everything. She made it dance on her legs, I think she shouldn't send
the gosh.
And so... And then after that, of course, was the Raggedy Ann dolls. And at that time, my name was Angie. So that was pretty pretty significant. My mom and dad always tried to provide a good Christmas day for us, even though my mom, at that time, she was working for the boarding schools. And one time I looked at one of her paycheck stubs, and it said, total per annum pay rate was $1,700. On that money, she had a vehicle. She had a mobile home for us. She provided, you know, our clothing, our food, on all of that. And my father worked in a trading post, and he also worked too. So it's really amazing to me, you know.
Which boarding school did you go to?
She went to the Tuba City Boarding School, and she worked there also. So it was sometimes it's amazing the things that she could get done. The first time she ordered some school clothes for me was from Sears catalog, something that wasn't made by her. She would sew. She still sews to this day. She had people come over to her and ask her to make traditional outfits, which she does very well. She'd sewed my daughter's powwow outfits, and she knows how to do that. So one of these days I'll inherit her sewing machine so I can do that.
Well, that sounds
otherwise,
awesome.
Otherwise, and anyway, that's when it really hit me was that, that there was this ho-ho kishmish haspeen that he brought us. And I always remember when we're going to Flagstaff, we'd stop at Cameron, and they'd give us these treat bags full of oranges, apples, and candies, and peanuts. And that just brings us all the way back to when we were little kids, and that was the biggest treat of all, is to get fruit. Never mind the candy. Candy would just go over there.
Yeah.
Oranges.
Do you remember my most memorable one when I was on the Navajo Nation was going to the chapter house on around Christmas or even before Christmas, and getting treats from the chapter officials, and it always comes in those little brown grocery stacks that are just, you know, they're about 6 inches long and about 3 inches wide, and then about, you know, 8 inches tall. And my most memorable of all the candy, it was just so phenomenal. Every time I see, when I go to a grocery store here in Salt Lake, I see those brown peanuts. It reminds me of those bags. And every time of those hard candies that, like, you know, that would that look like ribbons, you know, like they're like, and they used to kiss this in, that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
And I remember those little yellow ones with the soft, gooey centers. I remember getting those. And
my parents were both in the church, and the Mormon church at that time. So we have I have a lot of memories of that too. Going to church, and I was also raised, I also went to a Christian boarding school where, and down in Phoenix, Arizona, Southwest Indian School, Raw Chief. I was also a cheerleader there, and we won't go there. But we had a Christmas program, and that was always really nice. Every year we did the Christmas program for everybody that came. And I was in the choir, of course. It was a really small Christian school, less than 200 students, but all the way from kindergarten to 12th grade. So I guess I was in a boarding school myself, too. But all those things were ingrained, you know, all around that, after being introduced to Kishmish Haspeen in the chapter house, and then how my great grandmother celebrated. She'd go to the Keshje, go to the where they'd have the shoe games. And that's how she remembered it. She would always be telling us about that.
Yeah, well, that's another part that you're bringing up that's just really kind of interesting. I was going to ask you the next question since I have you online. And remember, all you listeners out there, please call in 347-989-0048 and share your Christmas story. And I've got Renee Yellowhorse on the online right now, and I appreciate her sharing. And again, you know, happy birthday to her out there in the city, 4 years old, and just like a lot of us, you know, a lot of our elders, you know, they, you know, didn't know exactly, just kind of knew the season and thereabouts is when I remember that with my grandparents too. Now, in reference to and if you wouldn't mind, just go ahead and stay online, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually going to ask you you know, two or three more questions. But the first one is that now that we've talked about, okay, well, here we are as Navajo people, and it's not just the Native, the Navajo people, but people from all different walks of life, so to speak. I mean, they, you know, what, where are we with, you know, I mean, have we fully adapted? But, you know, our Christmas or our winters were, of course, totally something different than what we've come to know. And is there any thoughts on that? Any conflicts in your mind, or no conflicts, or everything is kind of gelled together for Christmas and versus the wintertime stories? And how does that go for you?
For me, the way I raised my children, I was away in college and whatnot when I had them, and so we're pretty integrated. We do put up the tree and whatnot, but as far as my children, they mostly go in the traditional way, the traditional sense. Yes, we have a Christmas tree. Yes, we have presents, but as far as churches and that kind of thing, they don't go. And I don't know if it was because of my influence or just because that's just what happened. But I do have family, and I do have relatives that do go to church, and they spread their cheer around saying Happy Christmas, I mean Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and all that. Shay, I mostly stick to the old ways, you know, what my great-grandmother taught me. I just feel like I was on a journey my whole life with my parents being in the Mormon church, and then after they split, my mother was no longer there. I was with my mother. Then I went to this Christian school where that was, you know, this is the birth of Christ, all that was taught to me. However, when it came up to me to teach my children, I told them, here's the Bible, here's the Quran, here's, you know, our teachings, our songs, our beliefs. You know, learn about it. We're a global society now. We all know there's different things, you know. Even the way Christmas is celebrated in America, it's all parts of old traditions back in Europe where St. Nicholas comes from, you know. He's the one that went around giving presents, and there's different meldings here in America of how it's celebrated. And I think that can go further on, where in the Native traditions, we're always giving every day. If you see somebody that needs help, we give. And that's an everyday thing, not just one day out of the year. Just like our prayers. We don't go to a special place. We don't go on a Sunday, especially, to go have prayers. We have prayers at night, or we have prayers during the day, and we know our prayers are going to be heard by our Creator. And that's one thing that that's the roundabout way that I came back to what my great-grandmother instilled in me. Plus, I was also... I'm open, like, to NAC and to other Native traditions that go on at this time, like the round dances up north, the winter stories here on the Navajo Reservation, all of those things. We come together and we respect them all. But as for me and my families, this is, you know, we developed our own traditions. And my mother used to always bring everybody together, all the elders, as many as would fit into our little mobile home that she had. She'd put tables together and make sure that all the elders were served first, make sure that the hominy was cooked, the mutton and the fried bread and all the traditional foods, along with the turkey, along with the ham, you know. And she always made sure everybody got a gift. Even if it was a candy cane, everybody got something. She always took care of her elders. She lost two of her uncles this year, whom she dearly loved. And that's one of the things that I'd like to bring back, to our families to make sure that they all, even the little ones, know the elders and how we respect them and treat them.
So. Wow. That's very, very cool. That's very special. Renee, I got, well, thanks for sharing that with us. That's very, very special. And do you think that as far as the, you know, the holidays season, which basically starts with Thanksgiving and then we got Christmas, and basically what you're describing, I mean, do you think that is pretty consistent across the Navajo Nation as far as family goes?
I believe so. It's a time for family to get together, time for, you know, renew all acquaintances, time to welcome everybody home, you know. I mean, we used to have people all the way from Utah. I mentioned Kennecott Mines. My uncle used to come down from there, and all my aunts and my cousins used to be a time when we all got together with my great-grandmother, and then my mom got everybody together. Those are the times I remember also, not so with this specific holiday, not Thanksgiving or Christmas, but just during that time when they had time to travel home, they had their vacation time. So they would all gather at my great-grandmother's, and she'd be so happy getting all kinds of weird gifts. A swan clock that she had to plug into electricity, but there was no electricity, but who cared? It looked pretty on the wall, you know.
I love it. And yeah, I've seen many of those as well. And in the meantime, Renee, one last request that I'm going to ask, and we're going to go into a little bit of a break, and you're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. So on the other side of this little ad that I'm, you know, then I'll give you that little bit of time. In the meantime, what I want you to be thinking about, speaking of winter time, I'd like for you to share with us a winter coyote story with us, just a short one, the one that you remember. So, and again, all you listeners out there, everywhere, it just doesn't necessarily have to be the Navajo Nation. Can be from all over the country. Everybody has their customs, and we've got a caller waiting on the a couple of callers waiting. So, and I'll get to you. Be patient with us, and for other people, please call in and share your ideas and thoughts and how your Christmas are going. And so, again, thank you. You listen to Politics on the Navajo Nation. This evening's topic is Native Christmas and winter stories. And again, 347-9-0-0-4-8.
Talk to the host. Call 347-989-0048 or listen in at www.blogtalkradio.com/CalMed. To talk to the host, call 347-989-0048 or listen in at www.blogtalkradio.com/CalMed.
Native American Church, which Renee mentioned, NAC. That song was called Hail Mary, and it's one song that I've really appreciated. So now we're going to get back to Renee Yellowhorse, and she's going to share a coyote story with us.
Thank you, Cal. I'm going to share this coyote story. It's about the emergence. Because I'm from the Ottaway area, and we believe that at the confluence of the Little Colorado River and the Colorado River in the Grand Canyon, there's a place where it's called Hajine. And the story is how the people had to leave the third world to come up to the fourth world. And the reason was because of them, and all the animals spoke to each other. That's how I've come there, our relatives. So one time Coyote went to Water Monster. He wanted the baby. So he stole the baby Water Monster. The Water Monster wanted to get the baby back, so they made a big flood, and the people didn't have a place to go. All the land started getting flooded, so they got a big reed to go up into the next world, and all the people, all the animals started going up. However, I believe it was the turkey is the one that went up last, and its feathers are colored now because it was the last one to go up when in China the water was chasing it. All the people arrived up into the next world, and they were trying to stir. The water was still coming up, and they found that Coyote had the water baby. So he was told to take it back down, and that's one of the stories that are really relevant to our area there at Bodaway, the eastern of the Grand Canyon. And just wanted to share that's how we got to the next world, is because of Coyote's deceit and how he wanted somebody else's child or how to control water. So that's why water is precious to us, and why the area, the Hajime, how that came about and how we came to this world. And now we try to listen to the animals and they talk to us, but they don't anymore. But we were put on this land to be stewards of the land and protect those sacred areas as our Coyote tales, winter stories tell us, all our traditional teachings. So that's how I understood that, and that's how I provided that information.
There you got it. A little taste of Western Navajo Coyote story, an emergent story, and pretty much consistent. And Junjunia, Renee, thank you very much for sharing that with us. And you're welcome to listen in, and you can jump in at any time. And I'm going to bring my next caller online. And I know who this is, and I am absolutely excited to talk to her and share some of our stories. And, of course, we pretty much have seen the same Christmas stories when we were growing up. And this is my world-famous sister, Vanji Nez, calling in from Colorado. Yat eshet Deja.
Oh, yeah, Deja. Yeah, I'm calling from Venison, Colorado.
Well, that's awesome. So tell me what you're doing up there. And say hello to Renee, too, on the other line.
Hello, Renee. Yeah, I'm visiting friends up here. And just enjoying the cold weather, the snow. So, and visiting my friend Suzanne. She's up in Washington right now, but I'm staying at her house and taking care of her dog. And I started off in Pagosa Springs last week with Terry Flower Day, our buddy. And we had a really nice holiday over there. And then for my birthday, yeah, I was born in a big snowstorm, too. That was our grandparents used to always tell us that to me, you know, when I was little growing up, that I was born in a huge snowstorm. Grandma used to always say, that's what she said, and how they had to take our mom over to the trading post and because nobody was there to give her a ride. So, you know, that story goes where the trading postman drove our mom to the hospital where I was born. So that's a story I always remember. Like back then, it used to snow a lot. The snow used to be really, really deep around this time. I remember our winters that way, playing in the snow.
It wasn't always, I remember, I mean, Vanjie is my, the youngest sister of two that four of us grew up together in Tosado, and we all went to Sanasi boarding school. And for me, I remember, and probably Renee as well, she's still listening on the phone, but probably got us on mute or something. But, you know, during the winter time, I remember, I mean, I don't remember the very, very earliest. I do remember the snow. I remember how cold it used to be. But one thing that was so interesting to me was that most of my Christmas and holiday seasons were always during, was always coming back from boarding school, Sanasti. And, of course, we all lived in different dorms, and the fascination of the, you know, the different religion from the different, we had the Mormon Church, we had the Seventh-day Adventist, Christian Reform, and so forth and so forth. And everybody would go to their different churches, and they'd all get gifts of very different kinds. And that was my earliest memory. And then another part that I remember that was that when you'd leave the boarding school, you know, it was very interesting. You were checked out, I believe, 2 weeks that we'd stay back at home. And, of course, we'd just, coming from boarding school, we'd just get right back into hard work. And I remember that. But one thing that one day that I would love to come in and really what I remember, Vanjie, was that was the beautiful, absolutely crystal clear night. And I remember the snow. Do you remember the snow when you're walking on it? You would literally walk on the snow, and the snow was so hard that you'd literally walk on top of that, and you would hear the crunching, and there was something so beautiful about that. And then I remember walking between the corral and the house, going back, you know, either way, but you'd hear the sheep, you know, they're out there making, you know, they're out there calling. And then the next thing I remember was hearing the bell. And I'd somehow correlate that every winter, every time that I think about it, you know, that was something so magical. And when we'd get home, Christmas didn't matter anymore all of a sudden. It's just like now we never celebrated Christmas. It just was nothing that we did at the house. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I remember Grandma making corn stew. That was always my favorite. And I think, you know, that reminds me of, you know, like, around the holidays, I always think about the corn stew that she used to make. That was always my favorite. Like, you don't really care about turkey or nothing. You just want the corn stew. You know, I'm still like that to this day.
Do you think that we did Christmas at home?
Huh?
Do you think we did Christmas at home?
I don't think so. I think other people, our relatives came and they brought gifts, you know, to Grandma and Grandpa. I remember people bringing like pumpkins, watermelons, apples, things like that, you know, they would bring to our grandparents. And then, like you were talking about earlier, I don't remember going to the tractor house getting those. I remember relatives bringing that to the house, and even Grandma and Grandpa, they would go to the store and bring those little bags and the candy and apples and oranges, and they would put it in the bags for us, and we would get that. That's what they used to give us, and then prepare a nice meal. Those are the Christmases that I remember us sharing together with our grandparents. And then our Uncle Richard used to come back from work, from railroad, and then he would bring little gifts for us. I remember he would always bring me white chocolate. That was always my favorite. He always brought white chocolate. So, and those heart candies and shoes. He always bought us shoes. So I remember that with Uncle Richard bringing those for us.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Hey, Cheryl, sister, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on hold. And again, just like I did to Renee, and I'm going to ask you to share with us a coyote story or any type of a Navajo winter thing, because that's one thing that, you know, that that's during our time. So so just be thinking about it. And the next caller is going to be online, and I'm going to talk to that person. You might want to look at it on the internet, I guess, in the meantime. But anyway, just have a story ready, and and we'll catch you on the other side.
All right.
My name is Cody, and you are listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation, hosted by Cal Meg.
Navajo Nation tonight, and today what we're doing is that we're actually going to be we're just talking about Christmas. We're trying to keep it pretty light this evening. I believe I know who that caller was. Bill, please call back. I would like to hear from you, and so we'll just give a little bit of time, and of course we give Mr. Bill Donovan some airtime for him to share with us his thoughts. We got Mr. Bill Donovan.
Hello.
Mr. Bill Donovan. The caller actually dropped again. But anyway, we'll just wait for that caller to come back. But this evening's topic is Native Christmas and Navajo winter stories or traditional winter stories. And I am looking forward to hearing from everybody, and we've got several callers making an attempt to listen in, and I'd like to give a shout-out to people here in Salt Lake City, Utah, to people like Ammon Ranger, Kate Young, and caller, please call back again. I'd like to hear from you, and get you on air this evening. You know, the topic is about, you know, quite interesting. We have our Navajo tradition. We're Native Americans, and I'm not trying to create any type of controversy, but, you know, I guess the thing is that we're going to be listening is where are we, what are we doing, how are we looking at Christmas, and how do we celebrate it? And I think one of the most beautiful things in the world is just now that we have adapted. And I think that some of the questions that I would have is, you know, during this Christmas season or during today, you know, how much of Christmas, what does it mean to us? You know, of course, we have the Christian idea, but for us Native people, how do we celebrate it? And here's the thing is that, you know, I mean, I got to admit, I mean, I do Christmas. It's really fun. My favorite part today is giving to my grandkids, and I'm really, really excited about it, and quite interesting. I've got a caller. Caller, you are on air. Hello? Are you there? Would you, let's see, they must have put me on hold. Hello, caller? You're on air, 505-713. You're on air right now, so introduce yourself. Is this Mr. Bill Donovan? It must not be Bill Donovan. Hello? You're on air. Hello? Caller, 505-713 is the number you're calling from. I got you. You're live on Politics on the Navajo Nation. You got a story to share with us. I know they're there. I can hear them breathing on the phone. But anyway, if you can call us back, and you know, we'd love to talk to you. Quite interesting. I've got two calls on the other line, but at this time, I'm going to bring back my sister, and her story is going to be about the Navajo Coyote story. Just give us a little segment, sister.
Okay. Am I coming back on?
You're on right now.
Okay.
You're live.
My story is about the Sioux game, my adult blusher. I just vaguely remember this story, but there was all these animals who came together, the night animals and the day animals, and they wanted to have day all the time, and the other ones wanted night all the time. So they decided to have a shoe game, a contest, and the human, the people were the ones who were singing, and they got yucca to keep scores. So started, they put their shoes out and they started singing, or the human started singing, and the little animals went at it. So the owl kept cheating also. He would put that little rock under his wing, and then the other animal would come over and hit him over the head, and that little thing would fall out like they were trying to cheat so they would win. And it kept going back and forth. And then at one time, I think it was the badger who dug a hole and went underground and was trying to see where the day animals were putting that little stone in the shoe. So then he was discovered, and so they they took him back. They told him that he couldn't cheat anymore. And then so the game kept going back and forth all night. And they said, by the time the sun comes up, whoever has the most yuccas will win. But then the sun came up, and they were both tied. And so neither day or night won. So that's why today we have day and night. So that's the story that I kind of remember. I don't remember which animal said this or that, but that's the little story that I remember, the coyote story about the day and night.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. That's why pretty much the day and night are of equal proportion, so really nobody won. And who was it whose shoes was chewed on? That went home with a big hole in his moccasins. member. Yeah, I mean, they use somebody's moccasins, and so anyway, yeah, just hang on.
Right.
Renee's on the phone, and of course, I'm going to have you. I'm going to put you back on hold. I got this caller who's trying to call back in. Caller, you are online right now. Hello. Caller, you're online. Hello. Well, I can hear them, so I'm going to put them back on hold. And we have got a friend of ours who is very, very active on the Internet. And had a chance to hear from her, and I'm sure glad she's calling in. This is the world famous, another world famous sister of mine. I guess it's Joan Chissi, Haragoshi, Western Arizona. Joan Chissi, that's A.
Hi, how are you? How's everybody? Merry Christmas. I hope everybody's good tonight, nice and full. How's everything going?
Well, we're doing good. We're having, you know, this evening we're talking about trying to keep it light a little bit, you know, trying not to make it too difficult, and because it's the holidays, and, you know, today is, of course, Christmas Day, and we're just talking about Native Christmas and see what your thoughts and, you know, how you remember your Christmas.
I just remember growing up in the Western Navajo. I'm from Coal Mine Mesa. So we used to all get together at my grandmother's house, and they were really Christian. So we were brought up a lot of times in the Christian way, and we have a lot of respect for cultural and traditional beliefs, but everything for us, it was drilled in our heads, you know, that Christmas was about leaving Christ in the whole holiday, and it is about, you know, Jesus being born. So that's basically what we used to do. We used to get together, and everybody used to come, and, you know, they used to butcher a sheep, and everybody used to camp out or stay in the back of the truck and sleep outside. And, you know, those are some really good memories I have growing up. When you wake up in the morning, the fire's crackling, and everybody's out, and, you know, on Christmas morning. And then in the evening, they would tell stories and just share with each other, you know, the stories that they had, you know, about, like, hard winters and things like
that. Yeah. Joan, did you go to boarding school?
No, I didn't. Actually, I went to school here in Tuba City. I live here in Tuba City. My whole family's from here, and they all go to church at First Baptist Church. And it was a really, really, like, mixed childhood, because half of our family, I come from a big family, half of our family is traditional, and then the other half was Christian, you know. So a lot of the times we were still caught up with, like, all the taboos and what is going on with the traditional side, but, you know, we were, my grandmothers were very, very Christian, and they would, are you still there? We would get together and sing songs,
you
know, everybody. We had a church and coal mine. The whole place is no longer there, and my family is well represented from that area. But since we had to move, we were part of the relocation, we had to move from there. We live in Tuba City now. So half of us went to Sanders, and half of us went to Tuba City, and then a lot of people were moved to Flagstaff. So we no longer have those kind of Christmases. Are you still there?
Yeah, we're still here.
Okay.
We're all listening, all from all over the world, Joan. Now,
yes.
I guess the other question is this: is that so? Excuse me. Having said that, I mean, where are you? You know, is it one way or the other? I mean, for some reason, you know, we get this Christmas ideology, and somebody else mentioned, you know, the birth of Christ, and then we're talking
mm-hmm.
about the Navajo tradition. Where
yes.
do you think we are as a people?
I'm sorry, what was that? Can you repeat that?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm listening.
Oh, okay. Can you repeat your question? I didn't get it. I caught half of it.
Oh, okay. You know, of course, we're talking about Christmas, and then you've got this Christian ideology, and then we and then you're, you know, we're also telling winter stories. Where do you think we you know, where are we as Navajo people, and where are you in terms of teaching your posterity about, you know, what does Christmas, you know, December 25th, and how does that fit into the role of being Navajo?
Well, to me, it's about being with family. You know, it's about growing together and learning about each other in this special time, you know. It's like a sacred time. And what I was always taught was in December, you don't run around, you don't, you know, shout around, you don't, you know, you respect, I guess, the seasons changing, and that's a really harsh time. So, you know, when you yell or you whistle and you raise your voice, in Navajo way, they say that with it comes the weather. So the seasons change, you know, and in the wintertime, that's the reason they tell you to calm down, you know, calm down, settle down wherever you're at. When you're, when the seasons are changing, there's always something that marks it. You know, like with us here in Tuba City, when we saw autumn turning to winter, we heard this big, loud crackling of thunder about 2 weeks ago. And right in the morning when my daughter was walking out, she said, there it comes. That's winter. That's the sky telling the animals to go to sleep. That's time for them to hibernate. So with it comes the whole idea that everything calms down because it's going to be harsh. You settle in where you're at and get ready. You prepare for this winter all year. That's the way it was traditionally. You save food, you store everything up, and then out of respect for nature, it's going to be hard, you stay in. So, you know, you have all your wood, you have the coal, being traditional, you know. You really don't have much of a choice but to accept what they teach you by what they do, you know. It's following their footsteps and learning just by the experience of being with them. So, to me, that's the respect that I have for like the traditional belief that I was taught. And it's very important, though, for me because my grandmothers were really, they lived to be over 100, all of them. And out of respect for them and their teaching, you know, they believed in Christ. They got saved and they were born again Christians. And, you know, in our way, it's different, the way that people believe. But living it, you know, they can't help but tell you the things, the stories of when the seasons change, how to mark, how they didn't have time like us, didn't have records way back then. They used the seasons. So everything with us, we have to change with the seasons, and that's how they knew they were a year older, or they tell them that, like when I was born with the new disease, or, you know, the new that means a whole new season. So in Navajo, you know, when you listen to the stories, that's the way they talk. They don't really know how many years it was, but they'll say something to mark the time. So it's really, really, I guess, how you were brought up. I sure wish I still had those times, but, you know, we're no longer there. We no longer live there. So, you know, we're all building our own families, and that's just the way we learn. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Wow, well, that's really interesting. So, so what I'm hearing from you is that it's neither one way or the other. It's now coming together for you, and it's practiced either way. You know, you've got Christmas, and then you've got the, you know, the Navajo traditional ways.
Yes. See, my grandmothers, they were weavers. And they had to respect, too, the animals and the way that they hibernate. Are you still there? The way that they hibernate, you know. In the wintertime, the spiders all go in, and that's when they pull all their strings out. And that's when they, you know, do everything that they needed to do for their looms. And there's only a certain time, you know, that they have that respect for the animals, I guess, when the seasons change, the animals change, and then they go to sleep. So that's the reason why, you know, they tell us there's so many things that you need to respect nature for. You know, you just learn it, you know, and without really realizing it, you're doing it. You know, like 20 years later, you always think, man, my grandma used to tell me this, you know, when we're sitting there and she's weaving, and, you know, you count them and you got to make sure you pay attention, you know. So, and then with all of that is the lessons of patience and being a woman and, you know, the whole thing. You know, you have to have respect, the way you dress, everything. It's just the way you go, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's what I remember, you know.
Well, Joan, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on hold, and just like everybody else, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring, I'm going to ask you to share a Navajo coyote story with us on the other side. So, be thinking about it, because I'm going to put you on hold right now, and then on the other side. Aha! You're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. This is your host, Cal Nez, and we have about 30 minutes left in the show. And for all of you out there, you're welcome to call in. I've got several callers waiting online right now, and we're just going down one by one, giving everybody equal time and sharing their ideas and sharing their Christmas. And the show is about Navajo or Native Christmas and winter storytelling. And so, you know, where are we as Native people? What are we, how are we celebrating holidays? And I'm actually going to also get back to my sister and Renee's still with us. I appreciate it, Renee Yellow Horse. I'm glad that you're still hanging on the phone with us. And so at this time, I'm going to turn the time back over to Joan Chissy, and she's going to share with us her Navajo coyote story.
Oh, dear. Let me see if I can just remember one. You know what? I'm just blank. I can't even remember one. Can you wait? let me see. All I can think of now are the beginning stories of a long time ago when they used to talk, you know, like we would all sit together and the elders used to get together and tell stories. I just remember, like, you know, the stories that they used to say of our creation. You know, I don't know. I kind of heard Renee talking. I don't know if she was telling the same story, but, you know, they told us that we came from the third world and came up through the hole in the sky. And all the animals, there was no animals or anything. It was insects that came through first, and then the birds followed them. They followed them through the hole in the sky, and they had to get through before the hole closed up. But they kept going through, coming back, and then bringing, like, signs of life, well, it would be trees, you know, branches of trees, and then the ancestors said, you know, it was safe to go through. Everything was full of water before when they first went, tried to make it through the hole, you know. And the insects went through, and since the insects never came back, you know, they were thought to survive. The birds followed, and eventually we came through. And then the hole changed. It closed back together. So, you know, in our interpretation, that would be the seasons changing. So, you know, we go back to those early stories. It kind of matches with what the Bible stories are anyway, you know. So a lot of the creation stories are the same as or related to or somehow portray what the Bible says. So, you know, in all actuality, I think, you know, the similarities and the teachings that we have, the reason that we learn all of this and the reason that they tell these stories is to share, you know, I guess the experience of expecting the life cycle to continue. You know, that's really the basis of the stories. And from there, you know, from the third world, we caught, after the moon closed, another one came, you know, and then it kept coming. So they were over here on the other side where there was land and everything was safe, and they said that was a good thing. And the Bible teaches the same thing in the creation stories. When we read Genesis, like the first few chapters, it has the same story. So, you know, I'm thinking the similarities are probably because of the difference in language, you know, the way that natives couldn't speak English, you know, like 100 years ago, they spoke their own language. So, you know, how can these stories be wrong, or how can there be no church or no God or, you know, no belief in a higher power if it's Navajo way? But the stories are the same, you know, a lot of similarities and a lot of beliefs is the same. So that's my story. That's all I can think of right now. I hope that's okay.
You brought up some quite interesting thing, and that was that you said there is a correlation between the Bible and the Navajo traditional story. I'm just curious. I mean, can you share one with us? Like, what the one?
Well, the beginning stories in the Bible. You know, they tell you about how God made the earth, how God made light, how God, you know, was responsible for everything to make. And then, you know, you have the traditional side, and they believe that there's a higher power. You know, there's a different means that they speak to them, you know, or the different names, you know. But there's a lot of similarities of, like, the creation stories and how, you know, the ancestors and the higher beings are actually responsible for making life on Earth. How else could life be on Earth, you know? That makes sense to me, and that's what I accept. I mean, people always want to question your Navajo beliefs, and they always want to question your Christian belief. But to me, they're both God, in my opinion, you know. And one person that probably would be good to talk to, and the way that would probably clarify a little bit more, is Mr. Barber, Henry Barber. So he represents NAC, and I'm sure if you talk to him, you know, he'll tell you a lot about the similarities too. But when we were growing up, you know, my grandmas were on the side, and then the in-law to my aunt, the one that married my aunt, he was a medicine man. He did the Yeti medicine, the Yeti ceremony. So those kids that were brought up in that family were very traditional, you know. And my dad's family, there were six of us, and we were Christian. So we got to be exposed a little to what they did and, you know, the reasons that they did what they did. A lot of times we didn't participate, but we watch, you know. So even then, you're still learning. And they don't tell you it's not true about the Christian belief. And then they don't tell you, you know, they just specifically, if you go to church, we'll tell you, you know, this is God and this is what we believe. This is solid because it's from the Bible. and then there's the traditional side, you know. And either way, you know, to me, a lot of the similarities tell me that there's a real higher power. You know, to me, it's God. To you, it might be somebody else, you know. But there is something there, you know. There's a magic in the whole thing that brings it together, and it's about belief. It's not necessarily traditionalism. It's not necessarily like you have the ability to pinpoint it and label it and make it right or wrong. Sorry.
Yeah.
But it's just we're very unique people because of the way we believe, the way we were taught. We just have respect for others, you know. And a lot of Natives, a lot of Navajos that I know are humble people, you know, and it takes a lot to be humble. It takes a lot to not say the things that you want to say, but that's the way we were brought up. And, you know, I'm sorry, I'm just about to
Well, that's awesome.
I just...
Joan, I appreciate, you sharing it with us. And I'm going to put you on hold, and I've got another caller calling in. And so if you wouldn't mind, just hang on for a few minutes, and all the rest of you callers, just please bear with us. I will try to get to you as soon as I can. And I'll probably bring Renee and Vanjie back on. And so be ready for other stories and what do you ever want to share with us as well. So, the telephone number here is 347-989-0048. And again, you're listening to Polly. Of a Native American church peyote song, and I would say that's probably one of my first religion that I've ever experienced. And so I remember those nights listening to those songs as well. And now I'll read you a story. Ma'i, the coyote, first scholar, and the first scholars, told by Miller Adakai. This was in 1956. Through ideas, discussions, and plans, the Holy Ones created other marvelous creatures. For instance, there were the first scholars, one for each direction representing the four-legged creatures of Earth, of the Earth's surface. They were created with powerful and sensitive noses, eyes, and ears that stimulated their curiosity and quickness to explore unexpected occurrences in their environment. Their habits and characteristics observed almost also stimulated the power of the human, mind, so that they learned to carefully observe, pay attention, and listen carefully before responding. Traditional Hanek conveys the constant contribution of animals, bugs, reptiles, and insects to understand the living world for the Earth's surface people. Hanek forms a generalized concept that certain animals, birds, reptiles, and insects are carrier of messages. They stimulate curiosity to unexpected occurrences and spontaneous reaction for the Earth's surface people. The Holy Ones designed the living world to be less than perfect, full of challenges, and one has to observe, learn, and adjust to the ever-changing world. First Scholar is the best known as Coyote in the contemporary time, and is a spiritual guidance messenger for the people. For instance, depending on which direction a coyote crosses a person's path, a message or a warning may be positive, negative, or urgent. When a coyote crosses your path, traveling with the sun's pathway clockwise, the message is positive. A person should place a pinch of corn pollen on the tracks left by the coyote to receive the good message, vice versa. When the coyote crosses your path, traveling counterclockwise, the message is regarded negative or urgent. A person should place a pinch of corn pollen on the track made by the coyote. In addition, request for a protection ceremony to be performed within 4 days. Understanding the message depending on the characteristic and behavior of the coyote observed. There are also other messengers, such as Otso, the spiritual guidance, and the messengers for the Holy One, white light, transparent, clear, and radiant, characterizes Dotso and is considered to know all and represent by the morning star. Medicine people use crystal gazing, use Dotso to gather information in regards to administering healing. There are many stories of the First Scholar, the Inquisitive One, the Coyote. One story tells how First Scholar took fire from the first man and first woman and bargained for it to all the living beings. Soon, everyone had fire. They were happy with it as they used it to cook their food and keep their homes warm. First Scholar advised everyone to take good care of the fire and avoid abusing it. However, he became careless and abused it himself. Sparks from the burning juniper sap fascinated him, so he tied a long grass to his own tail and lit fire to the grass tied to his tail and watched it burn. He ran around amused at a trail of smoke behind him. He ran around the community shouting and laughing, encouraging everyone to do likewise. They did. As a result of his action, the creatures became confused, lost their sense of direction, committed adultery, killed, abused, and refused to listen to one another. Came very angry and destroyed the first world with fire. First man made his effort to rescue some living beings from fire, brought the spirit dawn to the center of the black world. First woman first boy and first girl, did likewise with blue twilight spirit, yellow twilight spirit, and the falling darkness spirit. Those that stepped up on the spirit dawn, blue twilight spirit, and the four cardinal directions were carried into the next world, which was the blue world. For as long as the people were able to recall oral hane, they used it to teach the people the meaning of respect, honor, and appreciation for the elements of the living world. People should not play with fire. Young children should understand that fire hurts and destroys when used carelessly. Furthermore, children are encouraged to know that fire is an essential life element first created by the Holy One. It must be respected. To teach respect for fire, traditional elders related to fire through kinship terms. Grandfather and grandmother, and they demonstrate using fire tenderly and with care. Fire is referred to by many names, such as Atse, Da Ki Chi Asato Atse Dahichi Hastin, first created bright light woman and man, Ajine Kun, emergence fire, or Tehadini Kun, crystal fire. Fire is recognized sacred, living, and useful for fire, food, heating up a home, healing and nurturing the mental and spiritual and the physical life in certain ceremonies. For instance, fire is used to heat up rocks for the sweat ceremony lodge. Songs are constructed to patronize and honor the strength of the fire to heal. Another example of using fire to heal is that in the Mountain Way chant, fire dancers are people initiated and or healed by the fire and have gained positive use for fire to heal. They are in a position to use fire to heal and yet avoid misusing it in any way. It is not acceptable to use fire for sport. Traditional teachers advise that people are initiated by fire, not initiated by fire, to avoid using fire carelessly for sport, work-related, and or in healing activities. This is due to the consequence of becoming confused and loss of a sense of direction. In the contemporary society, special events and celebrations such as wedding, the 4th of July, the New Year, and or birthdays are celebrated with luminous firecrackers of various colored lights. The understatement of the elders is how respectful a person feels for the sacred element of fire is how he, she conducts him, herself, because he, she is related to by the sacred element in the same manner as fire. Therefore, be mindful of how to use fire in the home.
And you are listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation, hosted by Cal Nez.
Politics on the Navajo Nation. The telephone number here is 347-989-0048. And tonight's topic is Navajo or Native Winter or Native Christmas. And Christmas is over, and everybody is basically, you know, going on with their lives, I guess, tomorrow. And Santa's tired and probably getting some rest this evening and wondering how he's going to use up all of his energy to get ready for next year and lose all the weight and all the cookies and milk and all the goodies that was left for him all over the world. So I've got Renee, Yellow Horse, and, of course, my sister calling in from Colorado, Pagosa Springs, Dashinichahenna. So any other thoughts that you guys want to share with us? Renee and Evangi, I hope you guys – Renee, that's all needs on Ishkajinsen. Renee, are you still with us? Renee, you got any other thoughts you want to share with us about tonight's topic? And Evangi, same with you. You're welcome to just drop in at any time.
Well, for me, you know, I'm just very grateful for all the things that we have today, and I think our culture and our traditions is going on, and then our language is still here also, even though that we're speaking English. It would be wonderful at some point, you know, when we can all just talk in Diné and have people call in. I think that would be wonderful, too, in that way. So I just want to say thank you, Shana. I'm in Gunnison, Colorado, actually.
Gunnison. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah. So thank you, and yeah, Merry Christmas. Do ya te kishmish mihidane shidane. Tehadole shesto.
All right. Well, you have a safe drive back to home after you're done in Gunnison. So, and we'll talk to you soon. And thanks for calling in. So,
yeah, thanks. Take care. Happy New Year.
So, going on. And Renee, are you still there? Well, you know, I guess Renee, she only done a Ishkajinsen.
Can you hear me?
I'm still here. Any last thoughts? Joan or either
sorry.
One of you.
Hello.
Yeah, Joan, you're on air, and Joan's Renee.
Okay, I'm back. I'm here.
We're just basically covering just a few things. You guys can jump in at any time. And I still have Renee on the other line. She's still on, but I don't know why she's not answering. Renee, can you hear me?
I want to go to sleep too.
It's really nice.
That was a nice story you told. That was really neat. That's the one I heard too a long time ago. It's hard for me. I can't remember. I mean, I remember, you know, just being there, growing up. I don't think I was listening the way I should have been. But now I wish I did. But it's really good to share all of this, though. You know, a lot of the memories that we have are really cherished memories, a lot of things that don't happen anymore, probably will never happen again. A lot of things that we were taught were really, really out of respect, you know, for our elders. We would do what they wanted and listen. You know, sometimes we'd all roll our eyes and say, you know, it takes forever, or like when you have a dinner and then they pray,
And you say, oh, my goodness, you know, you want to get to that food, but they go on for 30 minutes. They're praying for everybody, you know, for world peace and the other side of the world. And you're like, please, don't ever pray. You pray too long. You know, growing up as kids, you know, it's crazy. But, yeah. You know, if you want it, everybody wants to eat, you know, so. We always used to say that by our grandmas. Oh, man, we're going to be here for 30 minutes. And she was very, you know, we used to laugh about it. But now, you know, I'm glad they did because a lot of things, it was direction, you know, the proper way to do things. And, you know, just set that time aside to be with family. And I'm glad they put that in us. I do that to my kids now. Make sure they spend time with the whole family together. You know, I experienced some loss, a lot of loss this year. And I think when we all get to December, we all look back and we think to ourselves, you know, this was a hard year, but it seems that every year it gets harder and harder, you know. A lot of the times all we have are the memories of when we were growing up. And as much as you didn't like to sit still and you didn't want to listen, you know, when you were in church or you were doing even like ceremonies, kinnel dust, stuff like that, you know. It takes time. Mm-hmm. You have to sit down. You have to be respectful because that's the way we're taught. And, you know, the kinnel dust, the whole purpose is to teach a girl patience. You know, the whole ceremony. Yeah. You go through everything. You make the cake. There's songs for everything. There's respect. You know, there's the teaching that they're putting in from you, your mom, yourself, to your child. And you have to respect that, you know. There's only certain times that you do these things. You don't do them, you know, on certain times. And even down to, like, an eclipse, you know, in the wintertime. Oh, boy, I had twins, and that was, like, 11 years ago. And every time I did something, I would get in trouble. I was sitting there eating something, and it was eclipse outside. And I was told, you're not supposed to eat, you know. And I'm like, I wish somebody would tell me. I didn't know they had eclipse in the daytime, you know. So things like that, you know, but you don't realize, you know, there's taboos with everything. If you do that, this is going to happen. If you don't do that, you know, but then when you're sitting in that ceremony and you're like, you know, doing that kinnel dust ceremony, they tell you all of these things, you know, your grandmas, your aunt, your mom, everybody's there. They all become part of this whole traditional way of life, and it's not a laughing matter too. You know, people make fun of it and they think it's because they never experienced it.
I really, really appreciate you calling in and calling back. We have about 2 minutes left, and I am ready. Sorry, Joanne. Sorry, I meant you. Because, I'm sorry. So I've got a. I'll close this up, and thanks for calling, and call in next week, and thanks for sharing. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, and all your listeners. I want to thank you for everything. We have about a minute and 15 seconds here. And just in closing, I just want to be able to talk about the what some of my thoughts are. Christmas, it's a very, very special time for a lot of people, and I think as Native people, we have brought both tradition, and it's really not what the outside world thinks. It's really what's inside of us, what we make it, and how we embrace any culture, any parts of any tradition, and it's how that we provide memory. It's not, and the question is, sharing. Is it the sharing or the receiving? And how much is this, and how big our gifts are, and how expensive it was? That's not the point. As small as a gift may seem, everybody who's made the effort to give, and to everybody, or to anybody, is very, very a meaningful thought. It's the soul behind the gift. I wish everybody Merry Christmas, and I hope to talk to you soon. And I will talk to you soon, and I'll be in touch with you. And you call next week. And next week, we're having a New Year's. I'm going to do a broadcast from the Salt Palace. And Merry Christmas and a New Year.
My name is Cody, and you are listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation, hosted by Cal Nez.